It's go time, family. Are you curious about the real world challenges and rewards of a career in project management? Our latest episode dives deep into that question on everyone's mind, if we're being honest. For instance, is project management a stressful career? Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out in your journey in project management, this episode is packed with valuable information that you do not, and I do repeat, you do not want to miss. Let me tell you a story, if you don't mind. When I first got into this thing that I hope you fall in love with called project management, some of the things that I was unaware of at the time really caught me off guard. Okay, I'm slowing the story down. Let me speed it up. What I mean by that, family, is that when you are leading a project, you have things that are not talked about, let's say, out in the open. For example, when you, you're working with different stakeholders, and stakeholders are always, there is a certain level of expectation that is required. That level of expectation, it just keeps growing and growing. And you're like, wait a minute, okay, we got to stop this. Let's document it and get everything together. And when you're a new project manager and you don't know these things, you continue to, okay, well, we'll do that. And we don't need to document it. We'll just move forward and keep going. But eventually, you get what my grandma would call, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that just basically looks like when you get to a point where, you know what, we need to follow a process. We need to document what we're actually doing here. So today, in today's episode, my goal, my job, my main mission today is to unpack, is project management a career that is stressful? Today, hopefully, we'll answer those questions and get it going. So let's step into the first point. Point number one, balancing multiple balancing multiple roles. As a project manager, you wear many hats, some that are discussed and some that are not. What do you mean some that are not discussed? You in this not discussed thing, ED? Well, some of the things that are not discussed are you may be a therapist. You're not licensed, but you may be a psychologist. So I'm going somewhere with this, family. Most of the time, project managers wear hats as a leader, a facilitator, what else? A problem solver. And these can be stressful from time to time because you're constantly switching. You're constantly switching to support that stakeholder. Like I always say, family, you always have to know your audience. You have to know who you're dealing with. So a message that you would assume that I could say, oh, well, this is a general message, they should get it, or that person should get it. No, that does not happen. So you have to find ways and wear these different hats. When do I put on my facilitator hat? When we're in a meeting and you have people talking over each other. Okay, I need to step in and facilitate this meeting more effectively. When do I put on my leadership hat? Well, when I can see I need to equip the team by, as John Maxwell talks about, by influencing and impacting what they're currently doing. Here's an actionable step, family. Develop a diverse skill set of being able to have ability to delegate tasks when appropriate. That is the key word, when appropriate, and seek support from mentors and peers of the industry. As you guys know, I always talk about my advisory council. I talk about them a lot because they mean a lot to me, and they've been a true blessing to my career as well as my personal life. So you want to get those mentors, those coach. I always preach that, and I live by what I'm actually preaching to you guys, or I should say talking to you guys. We're just having a conversation. Let's move on to point number two. I borrowed this from Meet the Falkers, but I call it circle of trust. Yeah. ED is funny. You know, I got to have some jokes here and there, family. Circle of trust. Listen, family, there will be information as you're leading projects that it will not be public knowledge to people in the department. I should say internal and external. And it just may be a conversation with you and the project sponsor. And he pulls you or she pulls you to the side and say, hey, listen, we're going to be shutting down 15 site locations. You cannot make this public, and we're going to sit down. You and I are going to sit down because of how secretive this is. We need to bring certain team members on. Who do you think we should pull from the team that could really move in silence, as they say, or move in secrecy, because it's going to be important. And you got to understand, family, if you break that circle of trust, if you accidentally tell somebody like, hey, don't say nothing, and they go and say something by accident, you have a chance of really just, I'll just say it'll be a difficult road for you to travel. So again, family, if you in the circle of trust, as I say, making sure not to speak information that if someone has shared some information with you, you don't know anything after that. If somebody asks you, say, hey, listen, I just can't really answer that. If you really need to know, you can go talk to my manager or the project sponsor. Let's move to point number three, handling project dependencies. Listen, when you are managing projects, there may be multiple dependencies that can be stressful. You may be counting on another project to complete so you can go ahead and start either getting resources or actually start working on your project. Or they may be holding it up because it may be a software application. It could be a lot of resources. I see this happen a lot where the resources are spread thin because they're working multiple projects. And you know, as a project manager, my project is priority. So everybody, all project managers have that mindset that, hey, my project is priority. So you have to be able to, I always recommend documenting those dependencies and finding out what those timelines are going to be so you can know how to move appropriately. Here's another actionable step. Create a detailed project schedule, as well as ensure that you are communicating with those teams that are dependent. Like, you guys need to be, as they say, be locked to the hip. Cause I would say check in with them once or twice a week, depending on what the timeline is. So if they say they're going to finish in 90 days, I would be checking in every week. I would just have a meeting, 15-minute meeting as a check-in meeting, say, hey, just want to check and see if everything is going well. Are we still on schedule? Are there any impediments or anything that you want to discuss with me of issues that may come up? And you can automatically jump in and help that project manager. And when I say help, family, meaning if it's a large project or it's something where you can, you know, do some facilitating or put together some meeting recap, anything to do to support that fellow PM. And that's another thing, family. I always get confused why PMs don't have that support. I know we have control issues, allegedly, but it's one of those things is the more people that could help, and that is quality help, not just you just getting warm bodies, but quality help, you should ask for that support. So anyway, I digress. That was a little rant. Let's move on to point number four. Ensuring team motivation and engagement. Listen, keeping the team motivated and engaged throughout the project can truly be stressful, because you may be coming to those project meetings and be frustrated because you're like, why am I even here? Like, we have nothing to talk about. This is not like, but you need to meet. You need to keep that consistency, even if a check-in, because what happens if when you start canceling meeting after meeting, then when you really need them to be there, they won't be there. That is a key takeaway, family. So if you have a meeting scheduled, a weekly team meeting, I don't care if you have anything to talk about, make sure everybody shows up and then say, hey guys, we're not going to meet today because unless someone has something to talk about, because it seems like we're really ahead, or the team is working on things. So we really don't need to, there's nothing really to discuss. I may touch on the risk and see, hey, how are our risk looking? Anything that's going to look like it's going to flip to an issue, and that would probably be it. But you want to keep that consistency, family. Do not, I repeat, if you can help it, unless it makes sense for your organization, or you know the resource that if you cancel a meeting and you still schedule one, they'll still show up, because there are some options like that. But what I'm saying to you, family, is a lot of times that you cancel a meeting and you do it multiple times, your stakeholders will not show up. So again, one of the things I would also recommend is provide regular feedback. Recognize achievements as well. That's one thing that just frustrates me about project managers, is that you have amazing stakeholders that are working on your project, and you can't even take the time to drop a little note to their manager to say, hey, this was working with John. He was amazing. He stepped in. He helped me out on a lot of different things that I didn't even understand. we need to do more of that. And also look at opportunities to create team building as well as professional growth. Point number five, maintaining project documentation. Why is that, ED? Because documentation beats what? Conversation. Of course, when documentation beats conversation, we want to keep project documentation up to date and organized, because if you do not keep this organized, you will be so stressed out. Trust me, I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm not telling you something that I read. I'm not telling you something that I seen an episode on. I lived it. I wasn't organized when I first started off in project management. And it took for one of the guys that I was basically taking over his project, that he actually showed me how to organize a little bit better. And then I started, you know, modeling other people that I admired their project management skills and got better. But if you don't do that, and the CIO calls you into a meeting and say, hey, could you bring up the project schedule? And you just scrambling, you don't know where the project schedule is, or you don't know where the document repository is, or where you're keeping everything at, this is not going to go well for you. So I say all that to say, family, this is what I would recommend to handle that, so you don't fall into that stressful area. Establish a documentation process. Use templates like a project charter or a project management plan, and allocate time for regular updates. That's another key thing. I would recommend blocking off your calendar, maybe 30 minutes or an hour, however long it would take for you, to ensure those documents update. Look at a date of what is the best time for you. So sometimes for me, Fridays are the best days. Sometimes it's Mondays. It all depends on how the week goes. But Fridays most of the time are my best days to get prepared for next week. So I recommend that, or the middle of the week, which is Wednesday. All right, let's move to point number six. Dealing with project politics. Message. If you're new to this episode, anytime I say message, this is one of those times that you want to listen and pay attention really close. I'm going to unpack this at a level that's going to go a little bit deep, but not too deep where you don't understand the message behind it. So what I mean by why did I call message out on this? There are project politics that you need to be cognizant of. Because if you don't, you may step on the wrong person's feet, using that as an analogy. Listen, navigating organizational politics and managing competing interests can be stressful to a project manager. Like I said before, you could have a full team of stakeholders. All of a sudden, a project could come up that now has taken precedence over yours. And because it's taken precedence, now it's the new priority. How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to get an attitude? Are you going to get frustrated? Are you going to go and vent to everybody to let them know that wasn't right? I had all the good resources. Now they got taken away. I'm going to be honest with you, family. Don't do that, because it's not going to do you any good. Now that let's using that as an example that has happened to you. Now we need to start shifting our mindset to the actual solution, because what's done is done. And I've seen this happen a lot of times in organizations, and I've seen project managers lose it. Like, you know, you guys act like y'all didn't know that this new project was coming. It just turns really bad. And the next thing you know, when another project comes up, that project manager, they really don't even actually get that project. It gets handed to someone else, and they get to work on a very small administrative type project, like putting them in timeout. Again, this is the politics of basically leading projects. And so you have to understand this. So I'm going to give you some key points here. You want to build strong relationship with the key stakeholders, as well as you want to maintain transparency and focus on the project objectives. That is going to be huge for you, family. Point number seven. This is something right here I almost called message on, because I've seen this really hurt a lot of project managers, and that is handling project failures. Listen, nobody really likes to fail, even though I truly believe that failure is the best lesson, because it shows you where you need to course correct. But project failures can be stressful. And I'm not going to lie, I've had some projects that's failed, and it was very stressful, because you're thinking you're asking yourself questions like, why did this have to happen to me? Now you're going into victim mode. And when you go into victim mode, what tends to happen is you start beating yourself up. It doesn't even matter what they're saying externally, because you've already done the damage to yourself. Now the external piece of things where people is like, man, that person's not a good project manager. Man, they're not a good project coordinator. How is that person even a program manager? They can't even, you know, so by that time, you've already beat yourself up so much that they're just piling on and you are just getting more and more, you know, aggravated. So you're going to face criticism. You're going to be talked about, but it doesn't matter what they say. How are you going to respond? How you respond is picking up the next project and really taking the lessons learned, because you should have been kept in a lessons learned register through the entire project. So at the end of that, whenever they ended it, that you can take, okay, man, you know what I didn't do right? I didn't create a sense of urgency with my stakeholders. You know what I didn't do? I wasn't having consistent meetings. You need to figure out what actually went wrong. So it's really like almost doing a post-mortem analysis, you know, and learn from your mistakes, family. We're going to make them, you know, because a project, we already know, is a temporary endeavor and it's unique. So as a project manager, you're not going to know all the ins and outs compared to a subject matter expert. Okay, but that's a whole nother conversation. Let me move on to point number 8. Dealing with team conflicts. Like I always say, in project management, you're going to have a lot of conflicts. Conflicts among team members really creates a lot of stress for project managers, because you get on the call and you just know for a fact that that John and Randy, they're going to get into it. And it's just going to take one of them to say something and then boom, they're at it. And you're like, why do I got to come to this every week after week? And they do the same thing. So it's up to you to step in. So how you mitigate that is, first, yes, you want to foster open communication. Second, you want to encourage collaboration. But third, and most of all, the foundation of all of this, you need to pull individuals to side, whether you meet with them one-on-one and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to be able to invite you to this meeting if you're going to keep creating that type of energy, because we're really moving forward. We're really collaborating together. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is the genius on this team. We're all collaborating to make this effort work with regards to this particular project. And be professional about it as well, family. I have two bonuses for you. First one, another stressor for project manager is meeting tight deadlines. Listen, strict deadlines can create stress for project managers. So my actionable response to this would be to manage this by breaking down the project into smaller manageable tasks, leveraging a WBS, taking a big milestone and breaking it down task by task, and then taking that approach. And just while you're doing all this, family, continue to monitor and ensure a timely completion. My last bonus for you, and then we'll go into my 3 closing remarks. Communicating with diverse stakeholders. Listen, you're going to have some diverse stakeholders on your team. You may have someone all the way from up to the CEO, all the way down to someone that is not an executive, not a senior leader, not even a mid-level manager, but you need to treat everybody equal. And what I mean by treating everybody equal, the way you approach and talk to your CIO or CEO or CFO, you need to keep that same professionalism with everyone else, because that's all it's really about. It's not a change in who you are when you're talking with someone, but it's really a change in being able to articulate yourself the same way. If the CIO was sitting right there and you were leading your project meeting, you should be able to keep that same professionalism, keep that same energy that is actually giving you the success, or I should say, allowing you to have the success in leading this project management particular project. So what I will always recommend is improve your communication skill, active listening. You got two of these in one of those. So listen more than you talk, and then tailor your communication approach to each stakeholder. And so I always, one thing with me is that when I am talking to a CIO, it's more high level. More executives want more high level, then they like to ask a lot of questions, and then we unpack that piece. With anyone else, I may take more time to go in a deeper dive and really give them already kind of know what the questions that they're going to be asking sometimes. And so I kind of give them more information that they're asking for. So that's really like what it looks like for tailoring communication. But I keep the same professionalism. If I was talking to the CIO or CEO, to anyone in below that, I keep that same energy because I truly believe you never know who can walk on into the room. You never know who can, if you work remote, who could jump on the call. And you want to show that, yep, we can count on this resource, this project manager to lead us. Here's my three closing remarks. First one, balancing multiple roles. As I stated earlier, as a project manager, you wear different hats. You wear a hat of a leader, a facilitator, a problem solver. And sometimes this can be stressful, family. I understand that, but I'm telling you it's worth it. Point number two, maintaining project documentation. As you know, the saying here, documentation is always going to be conversation. Say that again, documentation will always be conversation. So ensuring that you're keeping your documentation up to par, put it in a repository, put it on a share file, SharePoint, whatever, so you can get easy access to it. The last and final point here is handling project failures. Like I've seen a lot of project managers who had not had the success that they were looking for in leading a project. But the thing is don't go into victim mode. We need to take that information and learn from it. As we're learning from it, we grow from it. And then from there, we jump right back in the saddle and we lead another project. Listen, family, I'm going to say this and then I'm gone. I'm not going to lie or mix words with you, family. Is project management stressful? Is a stressful career? Yes, but it's worth every bit of it because of the fact that you do have an opportunity to wear multiple hats. You do have an opportunity to always be working on different projects. You do have an opportunity to work with unique, intelligent, smart, people with charisma. And just enjoying, it's like a family. And the toughest part is when the project ends because you've got so close and you develop relationships with these people and now they're being dispersed and now you're working on other projects. So if I had to choose a career all over again, I would choose this one again. So I hope that you make the decision today. And I'll give you tonight to think about, to think it over. But project management is an amazing career. Until next time, I'm out.